I love you, Mama. Oh, I literally do not know what I would do without you.
It's good. It's good. All right. Cheers. I love you.
To heartbreak. Cheers. I'm honestly not really in the mood for the holidays at all. No. And I feel like, I don't know, Mom, like I just feel bad that I'm broke and that I cannot give you guys.
You're broke ass.
But I can't, like, I don't know, like, I want to get you a present for Christmas. Gosh. I'm, like, stressing.
Oh, my Lord. Like, literally, no. It's, to be honest, and I'll let you guys all in this, I love the holiday spirit. I love Christmas. But the last, I don't know, kind of few years, it just feels like a lot more pressure. And I think right now, given everything that's going on in your life, in Nate's life, and my life, and Steven's life, it's not about like the gifts. The gift is you. The sheer opportunity that I have that you're down here for 2 weeks. What?
I love you.
That is like the best. We don't
need It's just like Christmas. Like I love it for the fact that I get to be with you and it brings up all of the cozy feelings that I have about Christmas growing up. But like now as I'm getting older.
Yeah.
The gift giving is stressful AF.
Yeah, it is.
And I have to say, it's just like, it's not, like, I love Thanksgiving because I feel like it's Christmas without the gifts.
Oh. Yeah, because it represents, well, we celebrate Christmas, which is very fun, which is going to be really special that Christmas is on
Christmas.
The first day.
Of Hanukkah.
Of Hanukkah. Yeah. So that's going to be really lovely. But yeah, it's more obligatory. And I think like, I would really much rather feel inspired to get someone a gift, even randomly, right? Throughout
versus
the year.
Just like versus Christmas. Like,
yeah. It's really fun when you're little.
No, I love it. I love
like
the little, yes.
That's like, that was my most favorite time when I was little. And when you guys were little and to keep you upstairs or keep you out awake going, oh my God, Santa came. Did he come? I don't know. Were you good little girl, little boy? But anyway, so yeah, this one I think holds a different meaning because Sky, you've been nailed with heartache. And I think I want to be able to use this opportunity to give your audience, our audience, just a real time in even some of the discussions that we have, but particularly right now as you're tending and stitching your heart.
It's the worst. It's and like, tough. I feel like there's no good time to be heartbroken at all. But I feel like, of course, this is happening. Thank you. Right before and in like the juicy times where you just want to cuddle with someone. And I don't know. It just, there's no other word to explain being heartbroken than just it fucking sucks. Pardon my French, but there's no other way to say it.
I know. And I just was going to have a moment where like when we were planning that one workshop on cuffing season and it's like, it's any time of the season when you go through this amount of devastation and your heart is in pieces and shattered and torn apart, it doesn't matter what time of the year it is, right? At least this time of the year, Sky, the blessing in this is your home. And that's it. It's better that you're home and you're not like stuck in a place that you feel like it's your 9 to 5 or, you know, you can't get home to just fall apart and take your makeup off and just be raw and real. Like that's the gift in this. So don't worry about it. But, you know, the holidays, let's just hunker in and be with family and friends and, you know, of course, deep dive in those moments that you feel the grief coming on, but also be able to like, have those moments of lightness.
Yeah.
And hence, let's pull a card.
Let's do it.
These are our guardian cards. Okay, let's do it. And I love these. And this is like the messengers from your light. Okay? So we'll both pick one.
Also, before we do this, I just want to – this is a message to my guardian angels. I love you. I never realized that this was a thing that like people are always like, money is energy, you guys.
Yeah.
I won't say exactly what happened, but I've been like stressing about money. Mm-hmm. And – I got money today in my bank account. I looked on my Wells Fargo and it was like money. And I'm like, what the fuck?
It's energy.
And I literally asked the universe, I'm like, and this has been super helpful. And I just asked for like not for any of this pain to go away or for this person to choose me, because I know that it's all happening for me, but I've been asking for endurance.
Yeah.
And I feel like the universe listened and gave me endurance financially, because that has also been adding a lot towards my stress and has been honestly making this heartbreak feel a million times worse.
Oh, heck yeah.
Like, it would be a lot easier if I had to study 9 to 5 right now and some other stability. But, of course, it had to happen.
I mean, when you were knocked down, you were, like, punched multiple times. And, you know, you're rising.
Love
and
you.
And you just take your time doing that, right?
There's okay, I'm going to pick one.
Okay, pick yours.
Okay. And, you guys, this is what we do, like, whenever I'm home with mom. Like, we literally just drink wine. We talk about anything and everything under the sun and drink wine and pull cards.
And drink wine.
And drink wine.
No, we've got lots of cards. Okay. Those are fun. Okay, go get yours.
Sorry. Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Okay, now?
Okay. Ready?
Okay.
Oh, okay, what's yours? Mine's other publications.
Mom!
I thought I took those out.
Okay.
Go.
Okay.
It's really for you.
Fuck. Okay. Self-criticism. Bro. We, your angels, ask you to please be more compassionate towards yourself. Observe the times when you have critical thoughts about you and make an effort to replace those negative thoughts with your positive, loving ones. I'm going to get emotional because I'm so mean to myself. I think I'm, like, I just think through this time, I've just been feeling lots of thoughts of, like, not feeling worthy.
Yeah,
and, like,
I know. I completely get that.
You're a wondrous being of light, even if at times you think you are less than perfect. Remember that the universe and divine perfection exist in all things, even heartbreak.
Dang.
Okay, what's yours, Mom?
Okay, mine is balance.
Okay, tell me.
Okay, if I can read this. Okay. Difference is necessary part of human evolution, and everything in life is comprised of opposites, which together make life whole. If you light a candle in a room, flooded with light, and the light in your candle would be indistinguishable, it's kind of like a little silly, but indistinguishable from the light which already exists because of darkness. We are able to perceive light, both are necessary. So how I interpretate this.
Precipitate.
How I interpret this is, really, I don't know if I fully believe balance in one's life always exists or can exist, because I think it's a constant, like, ebb and flow of managing whatever shows up. Now, there are divine moments where you're like, oh, things are flowing beautifully, and then you get nailed and you feel, like, incredibly overwhelmed, and all you do see is the darkness. But two things can exist at the same time. You can be sad, Sky, right now, and then find a kind of that equanimity or balance in your emotions by going, okay, I'm feeling grief, but look at right now what we're creating. You can feel a sense of life and energy and creation when you've lost something. So there's a bit of that balance and ebb and flow in that, I think.
Does that make sense? No, I love that. And I also think that, like, being heartbroken, I want to normalize, like, all emotions can exist. Yeah. I'm getting emotional.
I know.
But, like, it's okay to feel absolutely devastated one day, or even for 30 minutes or 5 minutes, laying in your bed feeling like you can't freaking get up or you don't know what your next step is going to be. And then it's absolutely okay to be with girlfriends and be like, I'm going to be good. Yeah. Or even from this breakup, like, I've had so many aha moments about, like, the empire that we're building together and, like, how I want to help girls because I feel like all of this is happening for a reason. And I think I'm just getting little pings of the universe that are, like, juicy nuggets for, like, what I can learn and how I can grow from this. But it's all of this to say, it's not freaking easy by any means. So...
Right. So even what you described is balance in the grief.
Yeah.
Right? And leaning into grief and I think I mentioned this to Sky last night that, you know, when you're in this intense amount of heartache and pain, you know, it's not about like running away from the pain, but the truth is grief is love.
Yeah, I love that.
Okay, it really is, because like your ability to have such profound love for another human being and then lose that, first of all, it shows you impermanence. And it talks about attachment, and you learn to detach from things while being present and letting that love grow. But when you're knocked to your knees because it's pulled away from you, that's love in its rawest form.
What do you mean? State. Wait, so what do you mean that when you're knocked to your knees, when that's love? To your knees.
So like when you're, when, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Yeah. That's good. So
just clarifying.
When you were in a relationship, when we're in a relationship, we're seeding the connection. We're seeding the love. Like you want to do that, right?
Yeah.
It doesn't mean it's perfect. However, when you go through a loss, whether it's through a breakup, through
layoff, whatever it, whatever may it be, is,
right? You're knocked to your knees. Okay. So you're facing grief. You're facing devastation. But that's one of the casualties of love. Mm-hmm. And I don't mean casualties in a like, oh my gosh, I'm never going to regain love again. But that's like the opposing experience or emotional feeling and experience of profound, deep, like ecstasy of love and wholeheartedness. Like your heart was ripped and shattered. And I'm like, whoa, okay, this is difficult.
Yeah.
And in this grief, be in it. Like you can't brush it. You can't run away from this. You face it. You be with it. You welcome it. And it doesn't feel good. And know that that's part of the process of love.
Okay. So is this like going to be a thing like with your future partner where you're feeling this immense heartbreak? Like does it...
Well, let me put it this way.
Yeah.
How does love eventually end?
You die.
Yeah. So that's the painful thing, is realizing even if you find the one, there will eventually be an ending. Sorry.
It's just really so hard.
I know. So this is just like one of the endings, right?
Yeah.
And that's what's
it's so just hard. So weird because like he's alive and like he's like 15 minutes away from me.
Yeah.
So like I think that's what makes like.
Well, he's not 15 minutes away from me right now.
Not right now. But like at home in LA, it's like, how do you, like, obviously you have to protect your heart and your space and like continue on with your life. But like knowing that this person is not dead, that they're very well alive and they chose not to be with you.
Yeah.
That's so hard.
Yeah. Yeah. So
like that's their decision.
Yes. And is there a higher decision?
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. So this is the thing. Like, can you accept that he's done that?
I think I'm like on the path of accepting it. But like, I think there's like still a part of me that's like, I'm going to see him next week and we're going to talk about it, because it's like, it's not even that my brain thinks that, it's more of like my nervous system is so used to seeing him.
Right. Right.
That it's like, oh, that's just.
Right. Right. It's like, that's the way that we kind of in our brains keep contact and keep it alive to a certain degree. There's a bit of a rumination. There's a bit of retelling the story. There's reliving events that occurred. And I think that's what's so painful about picking yourself back up after heartbreak, is going through all of the, not only the emotions, but what your brain is telling you.
Yeah.
That's tough. So I don't know. It's like, I guess part of this on a bigger level when we talk about grief is, life is part of that. Like, it's beautiful, but when you can love so deeply, we can't, like, hold on to it so much to ensure, right, that it's going to be here. Like, and when you can kind of slowly begin to I don't want to say I guess detach from the need for it to be here. I must have it here to be okay. You're not okay right now. And no. That's okay.
Yeah.
That's okay, right? Do you need the other person to be okay? In the grief, sometimes we feel like we do.
What do you mean to be okay? Like
to be enough, to be worthy, to be deserving, to be loved, to be...
That the fact that he's not actively choosing me or here in my life, that I'm not enough.
We our brains go there.
Yeah, yeah.
Our brains want to attach to that notion that you're not because of the choice. But the choice, yes, it is about your relationship. But in other words, it's about their thinking and their perception and their needs and their desires. And what are you going to do? Get into that person's brain and try to reorganize that and restructure the process of it and the story of it? Do you want to do that? Or do you want someone to choose you and have you as a big yes?
I want a big fuck yes.
Right?
Yeah.
It's so tough. There's so much to be said about heartache. And so, I mean, for the sake of this, babe.
Yeah.
Like you said, you're not okay. And it's the holiday season. And we talked a little bit about acceptance. And I mentioned to Skylar last night, like, have you accepted this? And she's like, you know, it was really hard to answer. And it's like, we think like accepted, everything's, I'm okay, you're okay, and we're good, and life is flowing. And what do we do in those moments where it's not?
I know. And I don't know, it is interesting because I know that like I have to feel all of this in order to, like, I don't know, kind of be the regardless, because I think that we all need to honor where we're at. And in order for me to fully heal from this, I know that everything that I'm feeling right now, I need to process.
Yeah.
And there is a side of me where like I have accepted it, because I know that if this person was my person, I would not be feeling this way and this would not be my reality.
No.
There would be zero questions. Like even in dating, when like you're at the beginning stages and it's like you should be not questioning anything, I think that should always stand. Mm-hmm. Like you should always know that you are loved and you are a priority, mm-hmm. even when it's hard.
Yeah.
And so I think I know that to like the depths of my being, but like there are still things that like my nervous system is processing that like my brain can't even understand right now, where I'll just start like crying out of nowhere and I'm like, what? Or I'll get triggered by something.
1,000,000%, Skylar.
Or like, and like, I have to say, like there are things that I'm learning through like Mel Robbins' podcast, one that she had with her daughter, which was amazing. This book that my mom gave me, which is literally, you're like further in it than I am. Very helpful. Mm-hmm. And one of the things is like the no contact.
Yeah.
For 30 days.
Yeah.
And that is something I've been sticking by. Mm-hmm. But I did like accidentally click on his Instagram and saw that there was like a post of us taken down, and that just, I went down in a complete like rabbit hole, mm-hmm. and I was not okay for the entire day. So I firmly believe that like that is legit. And I should probably be a little bit, the no contact.
Yeah, yeah. So let's kind of unpack that. Yeah. But I do want to say, I just want to follow up on something you said. Okay. Skylar, you are choosing to use your dream, your passion, regardless, this beautiful space to unload and literally be naked and take your clothes off and be raw.
Yeah, it's fucking scary.
Like, it's really hard. So this is a choice you're making. And I guess, like, you know, you're not unique, you know, in your heartache.
No.
You're just making the choice to delicately and gracefully.
Respectfully.
And respectfully unpack so you can be like, we can have these conversations to normalize and validate this experience and as we said before, it can be interpreted in multitudes of ways in life as far as grief goes, but in a loss of a heartache, there's nothing like it. There is nothing like seeing your child suffer. Like when I suffer, I'm like, I'll deal with it. Like I've learned through the years to shepherd my pain and other people's pain, but to see my children go through it, like it's flipping insane, right? And I know, I got to take up this amount of space to let you find your way. And I know both you and your brother have us here to hold, you know, when you want it, when you got a little soft spot. And yet you are freaking going, okay, let's go. Let's be loud. I need to help others.
Yeah.
So your pain is the pain that others feel.
Yeah.
And you're just taking this time to, in real time, express your pain and move through it, which I know you're doing this because it feels the most authentic thing to do for you. And so be it. Right?
Yeah. So even if it will piss other people off, because I know it will.
Yeah.
And it's like really hard because it's like, I know that me doing this,
yeah,
obviously any ex-boyfriend or ex-person would be like, what is she doing? Like I would probably be feeling the same way if my ex-boyfriend was doing it. So it's scary because
You're unraveling love. Like you're unraveling your time and energy and commitment and dreams and visions and dreams with someone. And that's freaking hard.
Yeah.
And you're not, it's not in a way of like, screw them. And,
not at all.
I'm going to get back and vengeance. It's not that. It's falling into the tenderness, you guys and Skylar, into the tenderness and the depth and the well of this shattered heart. And the only one that can put the little puzzle pieces back or stitch, right, will ultimately be you with your little people and your support system and your emotional SWAT team.
Yeah.
And we're all there cheering you on, right? And this isn't about causing harm. It's about, you guys, we're human. We're all in this stuff together. Like, we're in this world right now. And so I stand back and I'm like, dang, I could not have done.
Really?
No.
Serious?
No. Not at your age, for sure. Now I can talk about it.
Yeah.
Got enough war wounds, but literally, no. So I think it's like a gift for you, and I think this is a part of your healing, babe.
I think so. It's like almost like exposure therapy in a way, and it's like keeping me accountable, and I'm like, whoa.
It does.
It keeps me accountable.
It does. That's a really good way of putting it. I love that. So the first thing that I think is important that we have kind of talked about is the like no contact. And I have to say in all the years of my experience and even for myself, when I like went through a breakup even with dad years ago, that was the hardest thing. I was like pining for contact. Just please call me. We didn't have cell phones, thank God. So I'd have to get like a rotary call.
Much easier at that time.
Yeah.
Oh my
way,
God.
Way easier because I could go hours.
Yeah, and you can't even like look at what they're doing
or
on
like
stories.
He was in Australia.
Oh my God, bro.
Too. So I had no like contact at all. But I do think it's incredibly important because I think you have to detach or untwine yourself from this individual emotionally, physically, and psychologically. Okay? You really do. Because it is too brutal of a process. You're feeling this. Are you feeling this on every level?
Oh my God,
being?
Every level. I feel ill.
Yeah. So I think part of that too is to begin to put perspective on what happened. And realize the power of your own brain and like the narrative and the story and what it wants to do and how you might typically respond to those thoughts and how that impacts how you show up, which means like I gotta text them. I gotta, you know, stalk their Instagram. I gotta, you know, that's part of, it's not helping in the healing process.
No, I think it causes, what's the word, like stagnation? Is that a word?
Fuck. Stagnation.
Stagnation.
But I like what you said.
But I'm used to the same thing with a different word.
Where's it's a tissue? Common thing. Right now.
So, of course you have tissues here. I don't know. I feel like I need to stop looking at his Instagram because that was very triggering for me. And it's not helping my healing process whatsoever.
No.
And
what are you reaching for?
I don't know.
Yeah. The typical thing is some sort of reconnection on some level.
I think it could be on some level reconnection. Level, like a little missing him or like wondering what he's doing. Because even having more information about where he is like not helping me because like my brain just starts to create narratives and stories about like what he's doing, what it used to look like, and like
now it's no longer.
Yeah. So I think it's not helping.
Needs to start over. I think the 30 days needs to start fresh. It's kind of like an AA. When you have a drink, you have to start
is Dad
back
here?
To day one. Yes. So he'll walk in. But it's been hard. And I get that. It's like you're so accustomed to having this individual in your life. And you're so accustomed to like, what are they doing? Where are they? Oh my God, they're doing this. So it's okay. Like, you got to give yourself a break with that. And maybe you can have someone that's your accountability partner.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Like, you know, for me, for sure, I'm like, Sky.
Yeah.
Like, just do this, you know, just give yourself a chance to just calm the central nervous system down. Feel like what it's like to not have this person in your life for those 30 days and start to pay attention to what you're doing that's creating the chaos internally.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
And I think... Yeah, I mean, there's really no other way unless,
right.
I mean, you want to make your life hell.
Right.
There's really no other way.
And part of it is, look, I think the hard thing, Sky, is you loved this individual so much. And what you're doing is you're honoring them, right?
Yeah.
It's like, this is what they wanted. What are you going to fight against that? Are you going to change that? Are you going to grovel, that's not you. Like, you have to honor, like, okay, it's not your decision.
It's like not my decision. I mean, it's not fully my decision, but like based on the fact that this person didn't choose me, then my decision is not them.
Regardless, there's so much to say about that one decision over the other and who chooses what and what's right and like, you know, would you, coulda, woulda, shoulda, eventually, like, you know, I think bottom line is this is where you are and where do you want to go?
Yeah.
You know, where do you want to go? So there are things that keep us stuck. Should we go over those?
Let's do it. What do we think keeps us stuck, Mama?
Should I look at some of this?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. I think these are cool because they're like the 7 excuses that will keep you stuck.
Okay, let's talk about it.
Okay.
Why can't we be friends? Hell no.
Do you think that's possible?
No, because you're going to have sex with them.
Yeah. Well, that's a whole other stuckness.
But...
We'll get to that.
No, friends does not work. Why do you think, Mama?
I think because one of the duo is typically, obviously, more emotionally involved or attached and wasn't really ready for the breakup.
Yeah.
And so there's still, again, like we were saying, that need to be connected and, you know, needing the relationship to proceed. And what we often do is like, okay, we broke up because he thinks I'm too dependent. Let's just pretend. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, he thinks I'm too dependent would mean I need to be less dependent. So this is what I'm going to do. It's not really inherent changes, right? There's not, I don't know. I just think it's, if you're going to be friends with your ex, I would suggest still do the no contact.
Yeah.
Because you need to
for 30 days.
Emotionally, physically, and psychologically.
I agree.
And then I think like you can revisit that, but that would tell me there's not that much of an emotional investment into the relationship if you can just go from lovers to your brother to friends. And usually I think, Sky, one person wants to be friends and the other one's like doesn't. So is it something that both of you agree on? And if it is, then okay, maybe it was.
But I also think that like you can't, there's no way after 30 days if someone's like, I'm chill to be friends, and it was any, especially when like in the relationship 30 days earlier, you're talking about marrying this person or having kids together one day. I'm sorry, that is not real.
So I think it's circumstantial, but all in all, we both go,
Okay, next one.
All right, the next excuse. That, oh, this is a good one, y'all. That keeps us stuck. Mm. I must have closure.
Closure, I don't think is a real thing. I think that you can, I don't know actually how I feel about this yet, because there are things that I feel like I want to say to this person that I wasn't able to communicate because I was so blindsided. Okay,
that's the next one.
Okay.
So we're going to get to that.
Okay.
So closure.
Okay, closure I don't think is real.
So what do you think closure is? Like, what do you think in
that? I think closure, like, I think the myth of closure is like, okay, now I know for every part of our relationship that when something happened that I didn't understand, I now know why. And now I understand why they had a legit reason to break up with me. Mm-hmm. When I don't think that we can't be the other person, so how could we, like, I don't know. That's my...
Yeah, it's really tough. It's like, I think that need to... The reason why it keeps you stuck is because it prevents... Your mind, your brain, wants to seek a clear understanding. It wants to put things into a nice little place to make you feel safe. So the need to have closure is like, I need to feel safe. I need to feel okay about this. Well, this is a freaking thing sometimes that you're not going to be okay with.
Yeah.
You're just not. And so, you know, constantly needing to reanalyze, revisit, or have these conversations, is it really going to be enough? What is going to be closure? Is your heart really going to feel like, okay, got it, good?
That's what I was saying. It doesn't. No.
Like, so closure... honestly is going to come with insight. That's it. And that leads us like kind of that question before, like, have you accepted?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's like acceptance. It's like, okay, I am accepting this occurred.
I'm accepting his decision. Yes. I'm accepting now my decision to leave the relationship. Yes. I'm accepting it's a thing. Yes. I'm accepting it happened. Yeah. I'm accepting...
I need to move on.
Yeah, he's no longer the person that I should be investing my energy into if it's not reciprocated.
Right. Period.
Period. So period, is, period, right. period.
So that is a... Closure becomes, you know, a thing you do with you. It's like you...
It's you here, versus you because they're no longer a part of... It's no longer a partnership.
No. And it's really flipping hard, you guys, especially in rug. You've been blindsided. Oh,
trust me. That's why I can't, Mom. You. That's why I haven't accepted it yet.
Yeah. I know. I know. Well,
I mean, yeah, I have accepted it. I have accepted it.
You're in stages, but maybe not the finality of it, that it's like my life doesn't exist without that person, which that takes a while. Yeah. That's just it, right? Yeah. So... just catch yourself when you're finding yourself doing the things that you're like, I need this because I can't move on unless this.
It's no.
Like, really? How is that going to help you? Or is that going to reconnect, re-engage, re-traumatize, re-trigger? I don't know. I mean, it's a hard one.
I mean, it's like even with like your job, you're not going to wait for some fairy godmother to come and like give you your dream job. You just have to do it yourself.
Yeah.
I think it's like anything in life. You can't wait for someone to do something for you. It's up to you.
Yeah, maybe also the other thing I was thinking about what you said earlier, it's like, do you think like by reaching out to seek the answers, let's say, because that's what your brain wants to do. Mm-hmm. So just know, it's not like, oh, I need this. It's your flipping brain that's telling you because it wants to make sense of things. It wants to keep you safe. So if you don't feel safe, your brain's like, oh, get the answer. Mm. Have your last say, right? Mm. However, do you think it's just an excuse to reconnect?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or just to have that final hug. But what is the final hug is going to make you go back 5 million stages?
Ugh.
Because then, yeah.
What? You're going to be reactivating.
I know.
All in here,
Mom,
all
I know.
Everywhere, right?
Yeah,
it's not,
I know.
It's too, it's, again, take yeah. some time, take some space. So number three, Sky.
Yes.
I think you mentioned this, so we don't have to spend lots of time on
it. And
this.
We can even do only half of it
yeah,
today.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's
we'll
a great
have
idea.
Another one.
Okay. So I just need, this is what keeps you set, that you keeps you stuck. I just need to make sense of it all. And I just have one more thing to say to you before I go. Oh.
But
this is hard, y'all. This is hard, right? But what?
You know, it's very hard to go from like loving someone so deeply.
Yes.
To being with them for 2 years. And then, what the fuck? You're not like, you can never see this person again in your life?
No, that's not true. It's just too, again, go back to the, I get triggered emotionally,
yeah.
physically, psychologically. So if you're getting triggered that way, then just still take some
also,
time
like,
to tend.
And you have no idea what this person is thinking about you.
Who cares? Let them. Thank you, Mel Robbins. Seriously.
I know.
Who really, really, honestly, let them. Seriously, yeah. that's all yeah. I have to say. Because you cannot, Skylar, or anyone else, go inside that person's brain, and I wish I could do this, and re-knit what they're thinking. You have no control over that. So why are you obsessing and worrying?
Yeah,
not
I don't
just
know.
You,
I know.
But obsessing about what the other person is thinking, well, the first thing I have to say is probably because there's a bent towards the need for approval, the need to be liked, the need to be like seen in a particular light. I get that. Totally get that. Okay. It's okay. Just
yeah.
acknowledge that. However, you have to like look at they've made their decision for whatever reason. And I honestly think this one's hard. Like, I just have one more thing to say because I'm kind of that person.
Yeah. Well, I am too.
I'm kind of that person.
Well, especially when you're the one that's getting broken
yeah.
up with. Because for me, when it happened, I was actually like, what's the word?
Hyperventilating.
I was hyperventilating. Like, I couldn't get my shit to, I eventually did, and I'm very proud of myself.
Yeah.
But now there are moments that I'm like, oh my God, I wish I said this, or I need to understand, like, when was this decision made? And it's almost like, okay, when I talk to, like, my higher self, like, why would I need to know that? Because that wouldn't change anything that happened. Like, I already know my answer that he's not my person because, first of all, he didn't choose me.
Right.
But the result of this would not change even if I knew when he made his decision.
Yeah, I know. There's a lot.
I don't know. It's
I
a
know,
lot.
No, there's a lot in there. I think, like, what I'd have to say is in the hyperventilating moment, all you're doing is survival. Skylar, you were hijacked. You were in fight or flight. You were like, what is going on? You know, you didn't even get the opportunity to have your two cents.
No.
You know, or at least communicate or unpack or process or discuss or have an opinion.
Or even like come to a decision
yeah.
together.
So like the need to go, I have one more thing to say is fair. Just, I kind of feel like be aware. And if it's like you have this need to speak your mind and or be heard.
Yeah.
Because you're deserving of being heard. Because your future self's like, you're not going to be like tossed aside like that, or your future self is like, your words are valid, your experience is valid, then, you know, I'm kind of like, yeah, maybe there is a time that you, but there's not, you're not doing this to reconnect in a way that's re-instigating. It's like, I am saying this because I didn't get a chance and I am worthy and deserving of having my word, having my say. Kind of something in that.
It's like understanding the fence with that. It's like understanding the root of why you're doing that. Always. And I think it's, if you do that, you have to be okay with any result.
Oh my gosh.
You have to be okay with him or her responding and being like, fuck off, fuck you.
Yeah.
You have to be okay with them not responding.
Right?
You have to be okay with them being like, I fucked up. Yeah, I want you back. I think it's like,
yes,
you have to be in a solid and healthy enough place to present that to them. And I know for sure right now I'm not there.
Yeah, so there
so
you go.
So, like, that's my answer right now. Like, I would crawl and I would... I'm not even going to say it.
So I think what Skylar just did, which I love, that is one of your heartbreak, like, suggestions and tools and first aid. It's like, don't be going down that path if you have some ulterior motive. You have to know with any decision you make, you have to be okay with the consequences, because every decision will have an action that has a result or a consequence. It's positive, negative, neutral. You got to accept that. And I think that goes back to the detachment from the attachment of what was. No longer exists, okay? That is why I have to say, and we can stop if you want, but that's why I have to say, this type of relationships that go, we're together, we're broken up, we're together, we're broken up, we're together, we're broken up.
It doesn't work.
No, because what was is no longer. If it was still a thing, it means it was working. So it's no longer because it doesn't work. And so if you're choosing to restructure, reorganize, you got to do that. You got to do, like, we are taking a break because I need to work on me. You need to work on you. And we'll come back to see, does this work? Well, you didn't get that chance to do that. But it's like that back and forth. So you have to be cognizant and aware that when you make that decision to reconnect, to have your last word or last say, it's not for this closure. It's just like, wait,
I'm doing this for myself.
Yeah. It can reopen the wounds though, because we know that that happened.
Yeah.
So it can.
I mean,
reopen
I feel like
wounds.
It would happen to any human being. It does. I mean, how could it not?
I know.
Especially if you spend years with this person. Yeah.
I know.
And they're all you know and your best friend and you see a future with them. Like, to me, it's like, I think you have to be okay with, like, opening that wound again.
It's a big measurement, for sure.
I don't know. Like, it is interesting because even with, like, my ex, two exes ago, I, like, broke up with him.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, we spoke again, like, maybe, like, months after.
Yeah.
And, like, we never got officially back together. Yeah. But I was, like, okay.
Yeah.
But I know he wasn't. And, like, that's something that I regret and I feel bad about. But
see, it doesn't make it any easier.
Yeah.
Like, you happen to have the one where the rug was pulled out from under you this time. But it doesn't make it any easier to be the person that's making
the decision to do it. I think it's even harder.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of, like, feelings of guilt. Am I making the right decision? Self-doubt. Yeah. You know, like, oh my God, like, did I handle that right? Like, I hurt this person. I don't want to hurt this person. Like, it is rough. All around it's rough.
Yeah.
So.
And I think I think throughout this, and I think we put a pause in this, and I think we're going to restart for the next episode just to keep it cutesies. Sure. But I don't know. I think through all of this, and even with the layoff, like, I know that I could easily just roll over and not be a human and, like, be a victim. And I do have moments where, like, I think it's healthy to be a victim and be sad.
Well, yeah.
Because you have to feel all of it. But I also know that this is all happening for a reason. Mm-hmm. And I know through all of this, like, regardless, I'd rather grow and I'd rather see, like, what I can create from it.
Yeah.
And I loved what Mel Robbins said. She said, it's your responsibility. We went to walk.
Was it to walk forward?
To walk forward towards your person. Yeah. Okay. Okay. We actually need to make sure because I want to say it. Yeah. Okay. The greatest love of your life is on the road ahead, and it's your responsibility to start walking towards them. Yeah. That, whoa.
Talk about, like, accountability for everything. Mm-hmm. And just taking action and, of course, taking the time. You can't rush pain.
No.
You can't rush grief. It's got its own mind of its own. It really does. And, you know, like I said, this is one kind of powerful thing too, is like, you're going to feel pain, right? But it's the suffering that we have a choice to do something about it, you know? And that's kind of what you're talking about, Skylar, is regardless of pain, I'm going to feel it. I'm going to experience it. I'm going to move through this. I'm going to learn from it. I'm going to grow. And I'm going to rise. Like, I'm going to pick myself back up. Because what choice do I have?
No other choice.
I mean, people do take the other choice, but that's not living. That's not taking radical responsibility for your future and what awaits you and the dreams that are just like you're working towards that right now, right? So I think, you just can't rush this.
I love you.
I love you too.
We did it. I love you so much.
I love you so much. I hope it worked.
Me too. I think it did.
Oh.
Oh my God.
What?
We're done.
Hey.